Warning!
The podcast you're about to hear is very filthy. We say naughty words and use them as a doll anyway. It'll cause you not to eat your vegetables, and your mom generally thinks it's a bad idea.
Any moment of the show that has any similarity to the history of any person living or dead, real or fictional, or real events are entirely coincidental and unintentional.
Unless we're specifically noted otherwise in the cast and crew credits, all celebrity voices are impersonated, and no celebrity has endorsed any aspect of this show.
I just want to say how excited I am to be in front of both the liberal elite media as well as the liberal regular media. I am looking forward to a portion of your questions, so let's get started. Yes, you.
Yeah, what were your thoughts on Senator McCain's debate performance Wednesday?
You know, I just thought he was great because the American people are angry, and John McCain is angry too. And you can tell he's angry by the way he sighs and grits his teeth, and he's always going like, "Gah!" You know, and that Barack Obama, well, if he's angry, I certainly can't tell. His words are smooth. When he's talking, it's like an angel whispering in your ear.
Oh, shit. There we go. Hey, everyone. Welcome out to a new episode. I'm not even going to restart that because I'm lazy. Welcome out to a new episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Geeky. With me, as always, is my compadre, Jimmy.
Jimmy? Because you're
speaking in Spanish. See, we can't call you Jimmy.
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 Yeah.
And with us is the ghost of John. He's driving his parents to the airport tomorrow.
Meow, fuck you, meow.
And Snuggle Bunny fucked hard.
Nah, he's
stuck
like
How is Satan incarnate, by the
Satan
way?
Incarnate.
Did you see my comment on my... For everyone who knows, he posted a picture of his cat. Very ungroomed the cat has been recently. Very shaggy cat.
He is shaggy. He's been shedding quite a bit.
Oh, he's been shedding that. Okay, well, anyway, he posted a picture on it, and his... I think your aunt or someone comments
my
on
sister?
It. Oh, that was your sister?
That was his half-sister, Kip, that you haven't met.
Okay, well, that would make sense.
Like,
that's what I was like. Is that his aunt on Facebook?
Around? Yeah.
Okay, so his sister, half-sister, whatever, comments on it. And I just go, he's like, yeah, it's a very nice cat, something like that. I go, no, that cat is Satan incarnate.
That cat is not Satan.
Yes, it is. It's
you
evil.
You loved that cat before you left.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. I
you
still don't.
You were all slugging with it. I know for the show, you have to pretend you did it.
No, I'm not pretending. There might have been some... peace between the two warring factions of the whatever clan, but there is still very heated animosity. Was that the word?
I think so.
I fucked it up. I don't care.
Something like that. Whatever. We got
emails
to do.
Yes, and can I also say tonight's show is not sponsored by Dr. Pepper, but one of the reasons why I like
it's
drinking Dr. Pepper.
By Pollen Storm.
Yes,
not
Pollen
really.
Storm. Not really, but see, look at the can I got
it
right there.
Like
it looks like a football. Every year it does that, and it makes me feel like I'm part of the football,
like football
crowd. I don't really like football, but it makes me feel like I'm part of the normal, average Joe. It makes me feel like Joe the Plumber.
The plumber? You're Joe the Plumber?
Yes.
Pull up the pants, Joe the Plumber.
I know.
I don't need to see the crack.
I know. And you know what, too? On a different note beyond that, I just want to say that I do not feel bad for someone who doesn't pay their taxes anyway. But that's just me.
Yeah,
anyway. Absolutely.
Okay. So what is your email about?
No, you go first with yours.
Dear.
Mine's scathing of me, and I like to save it for last.
Dear Nick, Jimmy, and John, I was recently coming across the book by Judy Blume, Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, and I noticed the illustration style is very similar to the reboot of the comic For Better or For the Worse.
For the Better or the Worse? You're like pulling
better
a Nick Nitro all already. It's okay.
I would like to know, since you guys seem so like hip on the pop culture, is it the same person drawing both?
Let us look into our...
Jay and... Manuel, California.
Okay.
Jay and Manuel, California. Dear Jay, Jimmy says, yes, they are the same person. Good eye!
All right. Dear Nick Nitro, John, and Jimmy, more importantly, Nick Nitro, this is my email.
Okay.
This is from Kitty.
Kitty?
In Manchester, New York.
Mm.
Not located in the... the X-Mansion. Just want to say that, throw that out there, just to clarify. It's not
Kitty's last name Pride?
Possibly, but let's just skip that part.
Kitty P.
She makes the point here in this email. She's like, dear, more importantly, Nick, she stresses that apparently in a few episodes ago, I made a few mean comments against our boys in the armed forces. And I, you know what? I listened to that episode, and I gotta say, it came off that way. But I'm a jerk, so I don't really mean it. I just want to clarify that. I was trying to make a point, and I failed.
The Battle Geeky supports our troops.
Because your brother.
Had a, like, great smile. thumbs up. You guys
because
see
everyone
it.
Can see that.
You no.
No, I know, but no, I wanted to clarify that.
Excellent.
And also, like, your brothers are.
Two of them.
Yes, are in the different parts of the branches, aren't they?
One's in the Army, one's in the Air Force.
One's in the Army Reserves?
Well, he's going to be a paramedic for the Army. He's not in the Reserves. He's in his finishing up his paramedic
right.
right now. David's ROTC, which is the Air Force's college program. They pay for his college
and right.
serve him afterwards.
So I just want to clarify that. It's like, you know, it's not like I don't know people.
No. Absolutely.
I don't know them.
Nick knows my brothers quite well, and he's friends with them.
They'll kick my ass eventually if they ever hear that. And I just want to clarify, please don't kick my ass. So that goes to anyone who sees me walking on the street or at a convention.
Is just because Nick's afraid of my brothers. My little brothers, I might add.
I was assaulted at work for something I said on
sexually?
There.
Sexually?
Oh, I wish. That means there would have... No, that would have been forced rape, and rape is just a
not
surprise.
Not rape if you want it.
That's right. It's not rape if I want it. Anyway, yeah. We've gone off the track. Yeah, thank you, Kitty Pride, from Manchester X-Men, whatever.
News. I have a stack of newspapers, and while I look through them for articles...
It is to know that tonight we are going totally like nomads, wandering the desert.
Oh, absolutely.
Jimmy's had an interesting day.
Desert on a horse with
the name is
Good to get
out of the rain.
In the desert, you don't remember the name. Cause there ain't no one out to bring you no pain. La 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 da 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 da. The tempo's a little slow, da.
That's all we got.
Da, da, da.
Okay, you
can't fix the tempo?
We can't fix
There's
the
no tempo button? Mine had the tempo button. Well, I'm not looking right now. I'm busy. Anyway, I told Nick I wasn't prepared. I wasn't either.
I
wasn't like, even feeling the cast tonight, but we're going to wing it anyway. So Nick can look on Ain't It Cool and Acello while I read you things out of the closet.
That's right. Match. We're going to kick it like it's 1995.
Oh, Sam Yeager, who plays Matt Dowd on Eli Stone.
Yeah.
There's an article in the Columbus Dispatch that he's an alumni of Otterbein College, which I am also an alumni.
What? No way.
Graduated in 1999.
Is he really?
And in his interview, he talks about how great the faculty was at Otterbein, and he talks about what an awesome vocal coach he had in David Price, who was my choir director. And so that made me very, very happy.
We should write a letter to him and get him to come
out. We should be fan of Sam Yeager, as well as Paul and Storm.
Hell yeah! Mm. Tonight's show is brought to you by, but not really, Sam Yeager from Eli Stone and Paul and Storm. And not that bastard, Pat Godwin. But Pat, we still love you.
Also, the third book in the Wicked series came out this week. I didn't even know he was writing a third book.
I didn't know it was an ongoing series. I thought like the sequel was unplanned in itself.
The sequel was I don't want to call it bad, but the character that the sequel focused on was lame and uninteresting, and the book modeled the tone of the character, so in that sense the book was good because it did what it set out to do, but it was boring. The third book is called A Lion Among Men and is told from the viewpoint of the cowardly lion.
Ooh.
And as usual, the author mixes some relatively weighty essential themes, the search for self, faith, and redemption, into his whimsical storyline. And if you've read the Wicked books, they're nothing like the musical Wicked or anything. Like, they're real serious and political and dark. It's pretty good stuff.
Sarah Connor, surprisingly, just bitch-slapped Armageddon because,
woo-hoo!
Despite the ratings have cratered this season,
yes, I've noticed.
A Fox Insider
so is, everything else.
Is now getting a full back nine order, meaning it's getting a full season. So that's been going on a lot because before Eli
well,
Stone
all the
even
ratings
aired,
have been bad right now. So
actually, Eli Stone did really good.
Well, that's because Eli Stone is awesome.
No, it is awesome. But the wild thing is, you know how we even sort of talked about? I think we might talk about this. How the promos for
they did order some more Eli too.
Yes,
they?
About 2 hours before the episode even premiered.
Nice.
So I was cheering at work when I was checking my news sites. I was like, because the guy next to me watched it. I was like, you won't believe this. episode airs in about an hour and a half. They just renewed it for like four more episodes.
Yeah. Then this season, though, instead of picking up old seasons, they keep picking up for just a little bit at a time.
Well, especially for the shows that are new from last year. Right. Or, yeah, so they got
the
short
season shows.
Right.
They just pick up episodes at a time.
The Soprano star who played Melody, she is now Jamie Lynn Sigler. She is going to... I think it's Melody. I think I might have fucked that up. I'm sorry in advance. But anyway, she is going to... There are new rumors. She is the actual mother.
There's been so many rumors about who's the mother. I'm not going to believe it until they reveal it on screen.
Well, you know what? I agree that, too.
She's about the fifth actress that they've said is the mother.
Well, part of the problem is, I think that with the ratings getting a little bit better and better every year, they're like, well, CBS is like, well, we want you to keep going. And then the round, they're just like, okay.
Well, I also think, if they're smart, that anytime it breaks online, the actress is playing the mother, they don't do it for them. And when they do pick the mother, it'll be super secretive.
I don't know. I don't think they will.
It'll be a surprise.
I doubt that. Someone's dying on Gossip Girl in the main cast.
That,
they don't say who, but they're
right,
saying someone's going to...
There was one of five characters in the article I read. But that's okay.
Let me see. What else we got? And this is all coming from Mike Costello.
Joining Pushing Daisies of Private Practice.
Well, hold your horses, sir. I'm reading as I go along. Oh, David Arquette is forthcoming soon as a Fresh Court Randy Man. He debuts in this Wednesday's episode.
Uh-huh.
And he has a nice little romance with Kristen Chenoweth. And apparently they liked him so much that... He might keep going. And, by the way, Pushing Daisies ratings jumped up at least 500,000 viewers.
Nice.
So they're very excited about that. Kate Walsh's brother, Grant Cho, played by Grant Cho, he's now grown up into a 2-episode arc, so he's coming back. And speaking of Sam Yeager, so very coincidental. His ex-girlfriend shows up on Eli Stone, and get this, as the judge trying Sam's latest case.
Nice.
Very interesting. But the role is currently being cast, so no one knows who's playing it. Steve Zahn is playing, oh my god, Monk's long-lost brother.
Ugh.
Sorry, bug. Whatever, which is great because he already has like one brother, a missing dad they finally cast.
Yeah.
I think this is cool news because I like the show and I follow it. Colin Hanks, apparently he's on Mad Men. I didn't know that. But he's coming back to Numbers, which I really love. And then apparently they really can't get the real Dylan McKay on 90210, a.k.a. Luke Perry. So they're casting a guy calling him Luke, who is pretty much just a copycat version of
but Luke, not the same character.
Of Luke Perry. Well, it's technically the same character, but just not a name.
Not technically the same character. Because it was technically the same character who had the same name. That is the biggest bullshit story I've ever heard. I'm looking at your screen right now. That pisses me off.
Well, but you gotta understand. I understand what they're going. Part of the problem is because I think they're starting to realize that one of the reasons why the ratings are so huge for the show is because they are at this point truly cashing in. That, but they're sucking people in.
Well, Shannon
Doherty's
Shannon Doherty's just been sucking.
Right, but that's how they're catching people on. They're people who don't follow stuff like us. That are probably 90% of the viewers for the show.
Right.
They're not paying attention to stuff, except for when the news breaks, when the next star might appear.
And the Luke story is not what pissed me off. It's the other story.
No. Jessica Walter. Yeah, we were talking about, but we did not mention it. Jessica Walter being removed as a full-time character from the show.
She was one of the stars of Arrested Development. She played Mother Blue.
And my private PCU with Jeremy Piven. Anyway, apparently she plays the grandma, and apparently she's only been the episodes so far. She's been in there only for a few minutes per episode.
Well,
she's comic relief.
One episode when she was directing the play before they got Shannon Doherty to direct the play. But yeah, she's had small parts.
Well, and the thing is that they're taking her off as an actual full contract player.
It's the Gilmore Girls people that have taken over the show.
But also though, they're wanting to get more other old cast members from 90210. Like, what's his name? Even though he's not coming back as a character, he's coming back directing the episode.
Right.
And also, I think they were trying to use more money to get actual Luke Perry in, and I don't think it worked.
A Terminator being picked up. Brad Austin Green's still busy for the foreseeable future.
The Mentalist got picked up for a full season.
Which is, I only watched the first episode.
I watched the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like him. I don't really dislike actors, but he just rubs me the wrong way. The guy who plays him. But I mean, it's a typical crime show, and I have enough of those on my plate. I don't want to watch more.
That's how I feel. I dumped more shows this week, as a matter of fact.
What more shows did you dump, sir?
I dumped Dirty Sexy Money.
I heard that was getting bad, though.
It was. It really was. I dumped Everybody Hates Chris because it hasn't been up to par this season. And I dumped Privilege after watching a second episode and liking it, but not seeing something that like stood out and caught me. And I dumped The X-List. I made it through most of the second episode.
Okay.
America's Next Top Model apparently is spinning off a show called Operation Fabulous that will star top model regulars J. Manuel and J. Alexander, who will travel the country giving women makeovers. Is that interesting? Marsha Brady, Maureen McCormick, released a book this week where she talks about making out with her brother Greg and all kinds of crap and dirty stuff and all kinds of naughty, naughty junk. I'm looking for more stories real quick.
Yeah, I'm looking
Simon,
for some
Oh,
more.
Simon Cowell is earning way more than Paula Abdul and Randy Jackson.
Oh, that's right. I heard about this.
Which is kind of like a little problem, I guess. But at the same time, he's worth it, of course. So, oh, did you hear Tara Reid's quote about how she's like, I totally plan to go back into acting once the strike stops? I can't remember which comedian it was, but they're like, yes, the strike has stopped for the writers, but the strike has not stopped for people that will hire Tara Reid.
That's funny.
A quote from Mark Wahlberg before the whole Saturday Night Live thing that happened this Saturday, which we'll talk about during reviews. But there was a skit a couple weeks ago where Andy Samberg did the Mark Wahlberg show where he talked to animals. Mark Wahlberg was quoted as saying about that sketch, someone showed it to me on YouTube. It wasn't like Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin, that's for sure. And Saturday Night Live hasn't been funny for a long time. I don't even know who's on the show anymore. So that quote broke days before he agreed to do the show, which pissed me off. And he was only redeemed in my eyes because of what he did, but we'll talk about during interviews. But a few days before he did the show, he went out and insulted Saturday Night Live like that.
Oh, because we were talking about, what's his name? Jason Priestley?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's the one that's directing.
Yeah, he signed on for an episode as an actor of My Name is Earl.
Oh!
Which is interesting. Scrubs, ABC is enjoying the proposal season so much that they might even put it on early. But the only problem is that there's rumors that they might make it air Wednesday nights at 8 as a mid-season replacement.
Okay.
And that's not really boding well.
No.
What else is there here?
I guess, Project Runway, they're finished with the 5th season now, which I'll review in the reviews. But I guess the 6th season, they're well into filming, but they still don't have a network because they're tied up in all the legal battles.
Which one is that?
Project Runway.
Oh, that's right.
Because it was sold, but they're still...
Yeah, that's interesting.
So they're halfway done filming the 6th season, but they still don't have a network to show it on. Apparently, they moved the 6th season to L.A., where the first 5 took place in New York. So I'm wondering if that will mean their longtime judges, Nina Garcia and Michael Torres, will be gone because they have jobs in New York, and they would just show up to do the judging. I'm assuming Tim Gunn goes with them because, yeah. And Saturday Night Live has been getting the biggest ratings in 7 years.
Even the rerun
was like the biggest rating of the season
so
far.
Good for them because they're,
awesome.
Michael Weston on House.
Yes.
Played the detective that sort of, his character replaced the Robert Sean Leonard's character's relationship with House.
Okay.
You know, I think we reported on here a few weeks ago that the execs were loving him so much before the series even began back again that they were going to, do a pilot for him as a mid-season replacement or late-season replacement. Apparently, the fans have got so upset over the character. I like the guy. I like the character. My problem was, it's like you take Joey out of Friends for, like, a few episodes because they're mad at Matthew Perry. Like, they did it for one episode, and like when he accidentally slept with Joey's girlfriend.
It was rough.
Because remember, he got in the
box.
Hole
in the box.
Yeah.
One of the best episodes.
Yes. Well, that was hard to last one episode. You last over 5-6 episodes.
Yeah.
It's a little hard for fans. So they're wanting to see that relationship get back together, which they did. We'll talk about that in reviews. But it's a little heartbreaking. I think fans weren't used to it. So I would like to see the character come back with Robert Sean Leonard now back in the fold fully.
and see, you know, what the interaction would be, because I enjoyed it, but apparently the one-off spinoff's not happening now, so.
NBC ordered 4 more episodes of Knight Rider, despite lackluster ratings.
Did they really? I did not hear that on Mike Acello.
It was on TV Guide.
Columbus Dispatch.
CW shut down production of Valentine and Easy Money. I also gave up Valentine, by the way, but I'm going to stick with Easy Money for a little bit. They're still expected to air at least the first 13 episodes each, but they're shutting down production on any more episodes. And speaking of CW, the Time Warner markets, including in Columbus, did drop CW. And so far, they're not getting, like, any complaint letters. So, they're just saying, check it out online. But if their audience isn't protesting, then I guess it wasn't a big loss.
Wow, that is hilarious.
It kind of sucks.
That sucks. I sort of thought this was interesting. Apparently, Hugh Grant, who has done movies with Richard Curtis, you know, he did Four Weddings and a Funeral, Notting Hill, and Love Actually.
Yeah.
They make a good team. Well, apparently he quit like a week before production began on their new project they're supposed to do called Lost for Words, where he gets into a relationship with a woman and her translator, a love triangle, and he apparently walked out because the script needed more work, in his opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and beyond that, the only thing I can see...
Oh, I got more.
Well... In terms of what I'm looking at here...
You haven't gotten anything cool yet. You're still on Acello.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm on Internet Movie Database right now.
Okay. Now you're going to need
it. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' daughter, Siri.
Yeah.
Even though she's not in the play at all, she has her own dressing room.
Of course.
Which I just find that...
Yeah, because Katie Holmes started on Broadway.
That is right. And then, we'll get to Jimmy's special surprise gift here in a second.
Surprise gift?
Yes. There is a sequel to Wall Street... coming out soon. I forget what the name of it's called, but I really don't care. So you just know it's a sequel to whatever. Brad Pitt has a picture online of being the leader of the Inglourious Bastards, Bastards with an E, R-D, which is Quentin Tarantino's next movie.
Okay.
It looks pretty darn cool. And then there is a the Bourne Identity 4 script being written right now. Indeed, actually. You know what? John's not here, but the ghost of John...
The ghost of John agrees with you. I'm overruled. The Bourne movies rock. You win.
No, I wouldn't say that we win, even though you're wrong. But that's okay. I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I understand.
We've not done that joke in a while.
No,
so.
SNL has vowed to get Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and John McCain on the show before the election. They're in talks with all of them. And they confirm that if there's a need to have Sarah Palin played after this election, Tina Fey said she wouldn't do it. Kristen Wiig would be playing her if they need to bring her back after the election.
Okay, there's some bad news about the Sarah Connor Chronicles being renewed.
Uh-oh.
Which, yeah,
well,
I don't...
Season pickup.
Right, but...
That would interfere with Dollhouse.
Yes. One wonders what Fox intends to drop to make room. Might the netlet be ready to throw the intended for Friday sitcom Till Death into the scrap heap along Do Not Disturb? Worse yet... Fox might be considering moving Joss Whedon's Dollhouse to its Firefly mauling Friday death slot. So Terminator can retain its Monday birth.
No, they're taking a chance with limiting the commercials. There's no way they're moving Dollhouse to Fridays.
That's what Hollywood Reporter said initially.
I don't believe it.
I don't know. Fox supposedly really enjoyed Firefly before they kicked it off to its death.
No, they didn't, because they didn't air it right. Fox will join CBS and NBC by airing the half-hour Barack Obama special that he's paying for. D.L. Hewley has a new show on CNN where he talks about comedy stuff. What was I going to say? I had another story. Madonna and Guy Ritchie split up. That wasn't it. Emma Watson's going to college. That wasn't it. Oh, the guy who plays Terry Hatcher's boyfriend on Desperate Housewives this season was seriously injured. So that
in a motorcycle.
That may screw up their
shooting. Yeah,
shooting. They may have to replace him, or I think they're only holding time until they bring Mike back and get him back together anyway. And David Duchovny and Tia Leone are split up apparently. There was something else I had. No, I can't find it. Oh, McCain almost missed Letterman's second thing, and he took a helicopter. We'll talk about their interviews. ABC pulled the plug on Opportunity Knocks, the next show to get canceled this season.
It got canceled?
Yeah. Levi Topside, or Levi Stubbs of the four Topside.
I know.
That's very upsetting.
That is upsetting, because he was my favorite part of...
The Four Tops?
Well, no, I was going to say Little Shop of Horrors, but that too.
Yeah, that too. That too, my friend.
Jimmy. You go. Jimmy, look.
Yeah, wait. I've already seen that. I was going to talk about it in a minute. Oh, the other thing was Ringo Starr has said he wants no more fan mail.
Yeah.
He's cutting himself off from his fans. Don't even bother to send them mail.
And do you know why?
Because he's too busy. Too busy with?
Okay. Actually, Ringo keeps surprisingly busy, my friend. He actually stays more busy than, you know, considerably Paul would be. Mm-hmm. In terms of, he's going out touring and doing all this stuff. No, but...
Well, what you've got on the screen right now, Entertainment Weekly, it was the cover story this week, and Amanda handed it to me last night, and I already read the whole story and saw that picture of the new Star Trek thing.
So...
What pissed me off about that article...
Here we go.
Here's what pissed me off. J.J. Abrams... They were interviewing him, and he's like...
He wrote something down and circled it.
Oh, no, I was crossing off the Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
Talk about it. He was like, I was never a big fan of Star Trek. When I was agreed to do the movie, I decided I wanted to make a Star Wars-esque Star Trek.
Woohoo!
Because I love Star Wars. However, the other people he has working under him were all big Star Trek fans. Like, Damon Lindelof of Lost is doing the movie with him, and other people, and they were all big Star Trek fans. So I threw out JJ's comments as stupid. Plus, he also said that by the end of the shoot, he's in love with the characters now. And he was set out to make a movie lovers movie, not a Star Trek lovers movie. But it's tying in plots from old episodes. And there was a list of which ones to pay attention to in the magazine. Like, it's going to tie in Star Trek II. It's going to tie in Yesterday's Enterprise, a very famous Next Generation episode. It's going to tie in the plot from another original series episode about the Romulans, the Balance of Terror. Five or six plots that were still going from the other series, the movies, are being tied into this movie. So if you're a Star Trek fan, you're going to have that like richness, because they're not, even though it is a reboot, they're sticking with the franchise's timeline and history. They're just updating the look. And if you're, and you know, using Spock is going to help that. And they said for the non-fan, you're not even going to notice that there are these loose ends they're pulling from other things. You're just going to enjoy the story. But for the fan, we put in things to keep the fan interested.
I gotta say, looking at that, that does look pretty damn
spiffy. The only one I'm not really liking is I'm undecided.
I like all of them.
I love John Cho, but it doesn't look like George Takei for me. And Chekhov doesn't have curly hair. He's supposed to look like a monkey.
I know.
I still am excited about the cast. The only person not in that picture is
Spock,
Zachary Quinto.
Who looks badass.
The cover of Entertainment Weekly was Kirk and Spock. And yeah.
It was
also
had
a picture of the new... It wasn't an Enterprise, but it was a ship similar to the Enterprise that was being blown to pieces from the beginning of the movie. Because
that right there?
That picture, I can't remember what ship it is.
The NCC-0514.
Yeah.
The USS Kelvin.
Kelvin, that's it. Will be blown to pieces in the opening moments. I was reading little spoilers about the plot, and it looks awesome. I'm sorry. I'm going to drag Morgan to it and make her see it, because she liked Star Trek 2 when I made her watch it.
Star Trek 2 or Star Trek, T-O-O?
Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan. The only Star Trek I've made her watch. She liked that. Start with the best.
Okay, you want my honest opinion? I think she would like 2 and 4.
And
she would like First Contact.
Well, those are the ones everybody likes. And they also had a list of how much all the movies made. And Star Trek 4 is still the highest grossing Star Trek movie.
I thought, really?
It kicked everything's butt. The only ones that came close...
Was First Contact.
First Contact came...
I thought First Contact kicked its ass.
No, Star Trek 4 was still like $20 million over First Contact. Star Trek 4 made like $107 million in the box office. First Contact was like second place with like $96
million. Wow. Well, personally, my problem with the entire Star Trek franchise, as a movie franchise, is that you can't do 100% all what they do in the TV show, which is it's a bunch of politics.
They didn't do what they did.
Well,
Star Trek Insurrection was, it was just a big long episode, which is why it didn't work.
No, right. I agree. Now,
but
I enjoyed it.
But they took Star Trek 2, well, all the original series movies, and First Contact and Generations, and Nemesis to some degree, did something different, and that's why it was well.
Generations, awesome, I think. But it was like Generations was a bad first movie for the next generation.
I disagree.
Well, because no, but that's their thing. People don't go when they go to like that's why again another problem with the old movies is that they didn't make you think too hard. Like the original cast.
Mm-hmm.
Generations implied a little bit of thought process.
Well, Star Trek's always
and then
been.
First Contact didn't, and then you have Insurrection, which did again.
Star Trek's always been the cerebral sci-fi series.
Yeah, I know.
And J.J.'s pledge of the new movie, despite having more action to make it more Star Wars-esque, will keep the idealism and the cerebral.
Well, I don't care about the idealism. Because I do like the idealism of Star Trek.
Right.
But at the same time, in a movie form, you can't be going too much unless. Like, honestly, I thought.
The Genesis Wave was too much to comprehend.
Well, I enjoy the movie. Because I love the Next Generation cast. They're my favorite cast.
Who doesn't?
So
they're my second.
And Patrick Stewart, and he's the bomb.
DJ's not my favorite, but yeah.
Well, right, but you're also a very hardcore Trekkie.
I'm not.
The only thing you don't hardcore, okay, you're one step away from going to the cons and dressing up in a con.
I haven't seen every episode.
I just don't. I ignored that
I
ever
don't have
was
the
said.
Uniforms. I mean, there's a lot of me that's not so hardcore.
Jimmy, that's because you're...
But I am much more hardcore than you.
Okay, let me rephrase that.
But I'm not, like, somebody that would appear in the movie Trekkies, you know? I'm not that hardcore.
No, honestly, if you had money to go to the conventions, I think you would.
No, I've been to two...
Consistently, yeah.
No, I've been to one convention when I was in middle school, and then I went to the Tim Hagen...
political one,
in
right.
Ohio because they brought the Voyager cast and William Shatner.
Right.
Anyway.
But that's still more than what I would do on that.
Anyway.
Anyway, do we have anything else? That's all I got too. Because honestly.
More, but I don't know.
They're really, that is bar none the bare minimum. Because everything else is like, at least on Ain't It Cool, but Numathon.
Next
Faces
time we'll
of
prep
Death.
And we'll be able to help you.
Help me.
Not help you.
Help our
listeners. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll go ahead and ponder some things here. Ponder what the fuck? I don't know. I just said that and it didn't make any sense, really. So, but we'll ponder whatever it is we're supposed to ponder, and we'll be right back right after this. Why did I say ponder? I don't know.
I like
the
liquor.
Liquor or linger?
Laker. You said ponder. I said liquor.
I don't get it.
Pond and a
drop your silver in my tambourine. Help a poor man build a pretty dream. Give me pennies, I'll take anything. Now listen while I play my green tambourine. Watch the jingle jangle start to shine. Reflections of the music that is mine. When you toss a coin, you hit it sing. Now listen while I play my green tambourine. Drop a dime before I walk away. Any song you want, I'll gladly play. Money feeds my music machine. Now listen while I play my green tambourine.
And we're back after we pondered and Lakers everything.
Laker.
Sounds like we're saying liquor, which I don't mind doing either.
Laker.
Would you like a cracker?
No.
That's a random thought. I'm sorry. I've been eating crackers.
Are you offering me a racist slur?
Yes, I am totally offering you a racial slur.
I don't want a cracker or a chink, you racist bastard.
You know what? That is not how I roll. That's not how we roll here.
On to the reviews. John McCain returned to Letterman after blowing
Letterman off. I'm sure it's a very good cracker.
I'm good. After blowing Letterman off, and I don't know if you watched it, but I was amused for a little bit, and then it got boring. But I was impressed. I was glad McCain just came, and he's like, you know why I didn't do it? I screwed up. I screwed up, and that was his quote, and I give him props for that, but...
Can I just say, I saw your Twitter the other night where you said you watched Craig Ferguson.
I did. What episode was that? I don't remember. Who was the interview?
Will Ferrell. No. Someone from Desperate Housewives.
Eva LaGuardia Parker and Neil McDonald.
Isn't she in Desperate Housewives?
Well, there were two Desperate Housewives actors on one talk show. That might have been the one I watched. Because I know I watched it.
Do you watch the full thing?
Well, Eva LaGuardia Parker and Neil McDonald were both interviewed on the same talk show. I didn't remember who interviewed them. It must have been Craig. And I watched the whole interview of the two of them.
Oh, you didn't watch the whole show?
They were separate interviews. No, I just watched the two interviews.
You should watch the whole show. It's because then, like, during the interview, he probably made references to jokes he made. I was going to say, how does it feel to get, like, grade-A steak quality talk show, comedy, late-night talk show? But never mind. You didn't. You just cut a center in the middle of the steak and just said, that's good steak.
Grade-A, Saturday Night Live. Oh, my God, the guest stars. For one, I tweeted this a little bit ago.
Yes, I did. I didn't even know until after you...
Who even cares that James Brolin hosted last night? Because having the real Sarah Palin on, having
Mark Wahlberg,
having Oliver Stone, having Alec Baldwin, James Brolin was completely overshadowed. And he was good, but he was in two, like, really bad skits in the episode. Kristen Wiig was in, like, every episode. It was Kristen Wiig week, I guess. But the Sarah Palin thing and the Tina Fey thing was hilarious. And Alec pretending that he thought Sarah was Tina.
After watching that, I think he got an extra barb in there that wasn't supposed to be in there. And so then she threw the Stephen Baldwin in line.
I think so. Well, no.
I don't think that was planned because he... I don't think so.
And Stephen Baldwin...
Because Lorne Michaels sort of looked down and did that weird thing he does when he feels uncomfortable at interviews, which is he does almost like a Johnny Carson. He doesn't look at the camera, and he, like, sort of shifts himself up and back down off his heels. And I thought that was not planned, because he was like, ooh.
I thought the Stephen Baldwin was not planned, but I think Alec Baldwin did get an extra barb in there. Which was fun, and then the whole Tina thing, and where she, like, rushed off the stage when she found out the real one was there, that was fun. And when Sarah Palin came back during Weekend Update, and Amy Poehler did the Sarah Palin rap, that was just hilarious.
Now, the clip I saw just showed the rap starting with Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
Did she say something before where she said, I didn't feel comfortable doing the rap?
She's like, I don't feel comfortable doing what we rehearsed. She's like, you know, and Seth's like, are you sure? Because it was really funny. And she's like, I know, I just think it would be a bad move for me politically, blah, blah, blah. And Seth turns to Amy. He's like, okay, well, Amy, do you think you remember it? Can you fill in for it? And Amy's like, I don't know, I guess so. He's like, can you try winging it? She's like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then she stands up and does the rap perfectly.
And they have, like, the move. Yeah, I saw the rap, and it was really funny.
And at the end, she's like, Seth's like, good decision not doing it. And she's like, yep. But she, like, bounced and danced during the whole rap.
Yeah, like, I love that she was raising the roof.
I can't remember what they said to throw your hands in the air, but it was all the maybe it was, like, all the hockey bombs, throw your hands in the air or something.
Wait,
and I
love
the line about, I say Obama, you say airs, Obama airs, Obama airs. Since all Palin's been doing,
I like the weird moose guy in the moose suit just running around. Yes.
Oh, it was great. It was really great. It almost makes me want. I mean, I'm pretty sure they never. I wonder if they wrote it for Palin and then she just wouldn't do it. Like, I don't think they rehearsed it with her or anything, but I wonder if Seth Meyers wrote it in the insane hope that she would agree to do it. Because Seth Meyers has been writing almost all the Palin skits, apparently, Tina Fey said. Because he's the head writer. And, yeah. I thought it was fun. And Tina was great. And Mark Wahlberg, we had talked about off the air.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, Andy Samberg did the Mark Wahlberg Talks to Animals show. And it was nothing like the real Mark Wahlberg.
I know, but his delivery is so good.
And played the Andy Samberg version of that Mark Wahlberg. And after that comment, the mean comment that Mark Wahlberg released earlier that week, I think that's awesome. He redeemed himself by coming on the show and doing that.
Oh my God, that is just...
Now, Oliver Stone's bit was throwaway. I didn't
hear about that. What was that?
James Brolin's monologue. He was kind of talking about the movie he was doing when he was playing the president, but he didn't mention the name or anything. So Oliver Stone comes up and he's like, can you mention the name of the movie and when it's coming out?
I don't...
Yeah, that's...
It was yeah. But it was a good episode of SNL overall, except for two sketches that were totally lame.
Which, what were they? Were they one of them MacGruber?
No, the MacGruber was funny because they did the economic thing. It was good. No, it was like the one where they were going to tell James Brolin was going to propose to his fiance, and Kristen Wiig flipped out the whole time. And then I can't remember the other one, but it was late in the episode.
Let's go talk to some animals.
Yeah, this is a bit of the Mark Wahlberg.
This is the original Andy Samberg sketch.
Hey, dog, how's it going? I like your fur. That looks really great. It's your dog, right? What's that all about? Okay, well, it was great to meet you. Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
Can I play a little Mark Wahlberg? Is that clip up yet?
Yeah, we
Mark
can...
Mark Wahlberg playing Andy Samberg's Mark Wahlberg?
Yes. Yes, which we gotta wait for it to load here. Just bear with us one moment.
That was quite good. I watched a little bit of the musical guest, and she was interesting, but I fast forwarded ultimately. Cause
who was the guest? I'm sorry.
The musical guest. I don't know who she was. She was interesting.
She was interesting enough that you.
But I listened to 10 seconds of it. Usually, I don't listen to that.
Well, I gotta be honest with you, buddy. I've been thinking about breaking that big, beautiful nose.
Here you go.
Sure, it's big and beautiful.
Yeah. But you know what? I decided not to. Being the church-going guy that I am, but I mean, it's nothing like me. What was that?
I know, I agree with you, and the thing that I'd like to say...
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Amy Poehler. How's it going?
Pretty good.
You're pregnant. What's that all about, huh? Well, it's nice to see you. Say hi to your mother for me.
That was part of me. Andy's version of
Mark. And then there's a donkey later on. Blah, blah, yeah, it's hilarious. Dying laughing.
Mark Wahlberg was hilarious. A plus to him. I watched the second episode of Kath and Kim, thinking the first episode was interesting, but how could they follow it? And the second episode was worse than the first episode, which is saying something because the first episode wasn't good.
I like the fact that I tried it as just a second time because I forgot I had a season pass for it and I forgot to erase
it.
Did
you try to watch it again?
I got maybe
3 minutes
into it. Yeah, not even 5 minutes into it. I was like, this is absolutely horrible.
The only reason I haven't canceled it yet is because
you still not canceled?
It's because it's part of the Thursday Night Lineup, and Amanda, for some reason, likes it.
Of course.
She also likes The X-List and Privileged, both of which I gave up, and Dirty Sexy Money. So I'm rapidly almost down to as much TV as she watches, because she keeps watching these shows that I don't consider very good. And she's a big Dancing with the Stars fan, and I completely write that off, so... other comedy, Chocolate News, premiered with David Alan Greer. I watched about 5 minutes of it. I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't. Now, speaking of other comedies, though, The Office. I just wanted to mention how fantastic was The Office. I watched it twice this week.
It was great.
The fact that Jan
baby.
Didn't tell Michael that she had the baby. And
that was heartbreaking. Heartbreaking, but
it
pushed Michael, which he always scares me that he's going to lose Holly. Just because
it
she's
pushed
the
her into his arm or her into his arm, yeah. I love.
And she teared up a little bit too.
Yes,
I thought that was
and
well
he
done.
He asked her out on a date.
I know.
Just because Jan forbade it. What is Jan's problem? She just doesn't want Michael to be happy. She's a fucking psycho.
I'll be very honest. I sort of hope at this point, when they do eventually get to the storyline where they're going to end the series and Michael gets fired, because you know Amy Ryan is not going to be on there forever.
Mm-mm.
I hope that she's the one that they bring back. Unless she ends up turning, again, she's going to turn crazy, which that's what happens on shows like this. The character ends up turning crazy. That or, well, and I guess in her case, she'll stay normal, which comparatively to Michael is not normal.
Yeah.
So,
well,
that also makes me wonder, if they ever do an episode where they tape him but not really tape him fooling around with the cameras, I wonder if he acts differently, because when you watch the original Office, you get the impression that David Brent is completely... He's not really an asshole. Like, in the final show...
Right, but he does play to the cameras.
He plays the camera, which makes me think Michael is... He's not...
There are times...
Because he had to get that job somehow. Like, he even said he was the best salesman. Technically, he fell into it because of the management...
Back in the day.
But still, to get to that point, he has to have some level of doing something good.
Back then.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah. Well, the way Jim almost turned into Michael in that one episode was, I think, their nod to that.
Yeah. And what do you think about Jim and Pam? What do you think that's... They're going to break him up, or they're going to try to.
I think so.
Which
But then at the end, it gave me hope, because they were...
They really weren't out of sync.
They kind of almost got back into sync.
They weren't out of sync, though, really.
at the end, they were almost synced. They missed the call, but then they were... Their messages
saying the
were,
same thing,
yeah. Now, Jan, in Michael's relationship with Jan, I saw my future if I had stayed with my ex-girlfriend.
Isn't that horrifying?
And it scared me quite a bit and made me super, super grateful for my current girlfriend.
Because
Jan is acting like... Yeah, anyway. South Park, the breast cancer show ever, where Cartman was worried about women's killer titties were going to get him. And Wendy got in a big fight with him and ended up, like, she ended up kicking his ass after school. And the whole thing was, like, she was going to get in trouble and Cartman blackmailed her and managed to, like, get it. So she wouldn't fight him. But then the principal was like, without saying it, was kind of like, I'll turn my back if you beat that crap out of him because we all want to see him go down. But she didn't actually say it that way. It was done more discreetly, but you got the impression. The thing that cracked me up is Cartman does finally get his ass kicked by Wendy, despite everything he does to, like, try to get out of it. Like, he even eats his underwear. He's like, please, don't beat me up, don't beat me up, whatever, in secret. But he won't, like, apologize in front of anyone, so it's his pride. So he gets beat up, and he's like, yeah! And he starts crying. He's like, you guys didn't think I'm cool anymore. I think I beat up my girl. And he's like, going over and over and over. And then, like, what? I can't remember who it was. One of the boys speaks up. I think it was, like, Clyde or something. And he's like, we never thought you were cool, dude. We always hated you. You just said that to make me feel better. No, dude. And they're all, like, chiming in. No, we never liked you. And he's like, you guys are my friends. You didn't think I'm cool. Otherwise, you wouldn't try to make me feel better. And they're like, we're not trying to make you feel better, dude. We just always hated you. And he was disillusioned. It was pretty funny. But I love the whole spiel at the beginning about how the killer titties were going to get us. And Cartman was walking in front of Wendy in the hallway going, watch out, baby, killer titties. Because she was trying to raise awareness of breast cancer. Colbert ended his third season, and his portrait was officially accepted into the National Treasures Gallery, officially that he is now considered a national treasure, right there with the Constitution and Abraham Lincoln's hats, because it's throughout the National Portrait Gallery was so successful that the National Treasures Gallery ended up accepting the portrait when it was over. So he unveiled his new portrait that has, like, five Colberts in it.
It gets accepted by default, really.
Well, because he is a national treasure. He is.
Oh,
but he unveiled the new portrait, and he's like, the last, because, you know, the first portrait was himself in front of a portrait of himself. And then each successive one, they've added another Colbert. So for the fourth season, there are five Colberts in the picture, like, staggered in portraits. And he's like, I thought the first four were missing something, so we added a little something new for the new one, and the new one's now holding an Emmy in the portrait. So that was kind of fun. And there's a Peabody Award on the mantle behind him. So it was fun. He's starting his fourth season. His ratings have never been higher. He's still on the top of the popularity.
Yeah, he's good.
I watched the series premiere of Caruso. I watched about the first half hour, the last 20 minutes, and then random clips in the middle.
Yeah.
And I do think it's an interesting show. It's visually very beautiful. I just couldn't get up the enthusiasm to really watch it. I mean, I agree with the review that said it was very artistically done and an interesting story, but I just, again, there didn't seem to be that special thing for me that I'm requiring of all shows I start watching now.
That's like Life on Mars for me. Like,
I really liked the second episode.
I got bored. You know, I had nothing to do, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to get stuff off my DVR,
mm-hmm.
and I kept putting Life on Mars, like, off, putting it off, and I didn't watch it till this morning. Because that's how much I did not want to watch it.
The first or the second?
Second episode. Mm. And then I watched it and I was like, well, I don't know why I didn't want to watch it, but I do. I don't know. It's okay. I'm not loving it.
I like the second episode a lot. What I'm afraid, though, is the novelty of what's happening is going to wear off and they're going to make it into a serial. And when that happens, I'm done. But for right now, I'm still interested.
Yeah, like, I don't... Like, honestly, the only reason why I'm still watching is because of Harvey Keitel and
awesome.
Gretchen Mol and Michael Imperioli. Because I love all three actors. I love
they're
them
all
and all
very
their...
good in the series.
And I, well, I'm still, I guess, heartbroken that they killed him off in frickin' Sopranos. Mm. So I'm, like, watching, going, like,
probably
I need my...
Sopranos.
I don't... You know what? I don't think you're going to like The Sopranos because I watched American Gangster today. I thought that was a good movie. Now, granted, I thought it was not marketed correctly. They marketed it like it's a cat-and-mouse game, and they don't even really mean until he arrests him. And you're just like,
I acknowledge
okay.
that movie was a very well-made movie. I just wasn't...
Oh, I
it
was,
just wasn't my type of
movie. I was enthralled with it, except for the fact that I was like, So when is the cat and mouse part come into play? Like
never.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I was like, it never happens. This is sort of heartbreaking because, you know, and then like Russell Crowe apparently becomes friends with him and helps him get out of jail early.
Yeah.
But they don't show that, so I'm just like, well, that's interesting.
I speaking of catching up, I caught up on Fringe this week. I had like 3 episodes on my TiVo.
Fringe is becoming better.
Very impressed with what Fringe has done.
Oh, yes.
I saw the Mark Valley thing coming from a mile away when she was like in her kitchen at the end of the episode where they revealed he was still alive. I totally called it. Why is they doing a scene with her in the kitchen at the end of the episode? Oh, Mark Valley's going to walk in. And then you turn around and there's Mark Valley. But then it's all in her mind and the consciousness crossed over. But we know he's still alive, so I don't know. It's been weird.
Yeah.
But I like it a lot. Like, the plot's very intense with not the action scenes. Just like, it reminded me of Alias a lot, which was part of why I got on and finally broke down and ordered the complete Alias Rimbaldi collection last night. Which I've been meaning to do for a while since I sold all my seasons on eBay. But I did order it, and I love it.
What other shows have you got left to do?
Just 2. The Eli Stone season premiere.
We'll save that for last, because that, to me, is the pinnacle of TV right now. My honest opinion.
Okay. The Project Runway season 5 finale.
Yeah, I have nothing to comment on, so go right ahead. Because I know we can both contribute to Eli Stone.
I loved when Jennifer Lopez didn't show up because of her hurt ankle.
Did they show and talk about it on the show?
They started the runway show, and Heidi comes out to introduce the 3 designers like they always do at the beginning, and she points over, and there's Nina Garcia and Michael Kors, who in the first season they changed their judges up every week, but since season 2, those have been the 2 judges, and then there's always a 3rd guest judge. Heidi and then Nina Garcia and Michael Kors. So she looks at Nina and Michael, and she's like, and that empty seat next to them was supposed to be Jennifer Lopez, but she just called me, and she can't come, so we had to find somebody special to fill in at the last minute. And that person is Tim Gunn. And everybody starts cheering. And I have to admit, I had a total geek out moment where I'm like, yeah, I love Tim Gunn. Finally, he gets to judge. Even though it was kind of corny when he came out. He's like, oh, I'll try to be impartial, leave my feelings aside. But what killed me is the villainous of this season. Because there's always a villain in the season. Is Ben Kenley. And she was a late blooming villain where she didn't really become a villain until the last 5 episodes. But hated her because she just told the judges they were wrong and they didn't get her, and they kept telling her that her designs were very similar to other designers, and she's like, well, you're wrong, you're totally original, blah blah blah, and she was just being such a bitch. I really hated her. And so especially Tim Gunn, because Tim comes in and gives him suggestions, and every time Tim gives her a suggestion, she's really rude to him, like, yeah, whatever, Tim, I know better than you, blah blah blah. So they announce it's Tim Gunn, and they cut to her, and she looks at the other 2 designers, and she's like, well, I guess I should have had a better attitude.
She didn't
win.
Oh, thank God.
That's what I said. The winner was Leanne, who was the one I was rooting for. It was all 3 girls this time. It's usually not all 3 girls. Usually it's 2 guys and a girl in the finale. And this time,
yeah, it's all women. I heard about it was women. Yeah. I don't know.
I was trying to remember if they've even had 2 women in the finale before. I think they have like once, but usually it's 2 men. Usually the men hang on and the women go home.
Do they make a point to discuss that the fact that Jennifer Lopez was lying to them eventually?
No, because when they filmed it, they didn't realize she was lying.
They should have done like a little thing of the bomb.
No, oh,
that would have been hilarious.
Aired had been filmed that day.
Because like she was in like running a marathon with Matthew
like
McConaughey. Later. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
No, that happened too late.
That's hilarious.
And then the Eli Stone season premiere.
Oh, you didn't like it, did you?
I just want to say, it was fucking awesome.
See?
It was fucking
awesome.
The whole thing where his brother had the vision because the 2 were removed, and Sigourney Weaver wasn't real, totally fucked with my mind, and then he had to make a choice, and it proved once and for all that it's God setting the vision. He's not
Okay, now let me ask you.
It was so freaking sweet.
Did you at
and
one
Jesus
thought...
And Jesus George is a full-time character now.
Yes,
guy.
Yes, which I enjoy his character. Like, my mom, I got my mom in the show, and she's just like, she's very hot and cold with characters. So like, she hates them or she loves them.
Yeah.
And she's like, that Sam Yeager guy, I don't like him. He's a jerk. I hate him. And I hate Jordan. I don't like her either. She's a bitch.
Jordan's a guy. Jordan's Victor Garber.
No, Jordan. Not Jordan's,
Daughter.
What's her name? I thought, no, yeah, Jordan is, yeah, Victor Garber. I don't remember her.
I
anyway,
can't remember either.
Yeah,
I can't remember
Natasha Henstridge.
Yeah,
her character. She's like, she's a bitch, and
the naked
she's a bitch for going out with Sam Yeager, and like poor Eli. You know, she's like totally. She's like, but Eli Stone is awesome, and I like that cute little Spanish girl.
What Spanish girl?
Julia Spons, or she actually is. She's actually from Venezuela, or she was born in Venezuela. Maggie Decker.
Venezuelan?
Yeah.
I never would have guessed.
Yeah, she's very fluent in Spanish. Anyway, yeah, my mom was like very hardcore. But like, let me ask you this. When you were watching it, mm-hmm. did you at first thought, okay, Sigourney Weaver, maybe she's like not real?
No, not at all.
I thought that because I was looking for the big twist. Because I heard that Nathan gets the vision. I was like, so if he doesn't have the visions, then what's this right here?
I had not heard Nathan got the visions. And I was actually starting to think in the middle of the episode, man, if the series becomes that Nathan has the visions.
Eli Stone and his brother.
I'm not going to like that. I mean, I really like Nathan and give him something to do, but passing on the visions, I wasn't liking that idea. I really like the way they did it. I was totally faked out. And I love the way Victor Garber's character is going.
I know. I
half expect what's going to happen is Eli's going to buy that office where he was seeing Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
And him and Victor Garber and Maggie are going to go work there.
Which then puts him up against...
Natasha Henstridge will take over her father's old company, and Matt Dowd and Jason George will stay there.
Oh, see,
until Jason George eventually defects and goes over, because we know from the future that he's eventually on Eli's side.
That's true. I don't know.
I loved it. I loved it.
It was
completely
awesome.
Completely awesome. Definitely lived up to what I expected out of Eli Stone, and I have no complaints. But I like how I faked you out, where you're like, you didn't like it, did you?
Well, no. Okay, you can't see his face, but usually Jimmy, when he doesn't like something, he sits there and he's like trying to find the words to accurately say without letting me down. That he just didn't care for. Like, American Gangster, you heard the weird silence before he said, he's like, he was trying to formulate words, well, and that's what he looked like then.
I knew
he's probably going to fake out, because I thought I saw somewhere that you really enjoyed it, like on Twitter, but I was like, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
So I was like starting to freak out, so I was just like, you know what?
I still have it. I can still fake you out from time to time.
Occasionally, yeah. You still have it. You have the Okay, and also, can we clear this up? Because I did it to get people, to entice people to listen. Last week, you didn't storm off mad, really.
No, I didn't.
You just stormed off because he wanted to go home.
I closed the door and I was still sitting.
So when me and John were still going on, still like talking.
I was still standing and listening to you.
He was listening until finally.
I realized you guys weren't talking about me anyway, so then I left.
Right, and then we talked about you for like 1 second more, just going, well, wow, I think he really left. Oh, okay. And we said like five more things.
I really left before.
Well, we did.
I was hiding in your kitchen.
Because then we were even like, Jimmy, hello?
And then he didn't answer. I was hiding in your kitchen listening.
No, this is after you left officially.
Oh, okay.
Because then I went downstairs, and I'm like, he's gone. Okay, well, next week, I guess we'll try to do a show next week. And
you had already cut off before I left, because then you were like, talk about what you were going to record.
No, we were still recording.
You had said, I had heard you sign off, and then I heard, because that's what I was waiting for. I wanted to hear what you said after you signed off. And then you and John.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, you did.
I thought we were still going, Jimmy.
I did close the door, and then I hid in your kitchen, and I listened to you in the show.
That's what I'm saying.
And then you started having another conversation, and then I left.
I don't think we were done, sir. You know what? We can listen to right now. But the point is that you weren't really mad.
No.
We all do this late on Sunday nights usually, so Jimmy wants to go home and sleep because he has to work.
I want to go home right now.
Like, he wants to go home right now.
I put on my shoes while we were talking about Eli Stone.
I know, because he is prepping and ready to go, but I just want to, for my own sake.
That's cool.
I now want to listen to that because I'm now...
On the air, live?
Yeah.
Okay, skip all the way to the end.
I just got to start playing. Oh, and it's muted. Okay.
And my girlfriend's up for homecoming week.
Okay, we're seriously.
All right,
bye.
Region. Thanks, all babies should be avoided.
At the 43rd trimester.
If you're in Columbus, Ohio, come see Otter Bynes homecoming parade next weekend. I'll be marching and playing.
Jimmy promoting Otter Bynes. Sam Yeager would be proud.
No, McCain was an
Was he really?
He was.
I heard nothing about this.
But it wasn't bad. Yeah, I guess he only spoke for 20 minutes.
And my girlfriend's up for homecoming queen, so.
You know what? I think we did cut away. I thought we kept going.
You did, for a little bit.
An awesome.
You guys have a great weekend. I'll see you next week.
Oh, wait, but we still got to...
downstairs.
And we'll have...
We're doing support to S'more there. And
yeah, we're doing this S'more. He just leaves. Like, he has seriously left right now. He's walking down
Sports
the
stairs. Halfway you stay tuned as long as it yeah. First of all, congratulations.
Yeah.
Second of all,
go for it. You're there.
Second of all, I would just like you to know who is supporting you in this.
Who is supporting you?
Conference.
Yeah, I heard all that. I was still downstairs.
Homecoming. What is that?
I don't remember. I already forgot.
Okay, so yeah, I thought we cut off.
And then you started talking about...
Wow, I really thought we kept going.
Yeah, you did, a little bit. And then I left after you stopped. And I never did make it over here to watch The Beast with a Billion Backs, but it's recording on my TV at night.
You watching it much? Watch it with much better HD.
I know. I still should watch it over here. Anyway, I'm gonna go home and finish Prison Break, which I was halfway through, which aired 2 weeks ago, and I haven't watched it yet.
Although he did give me something right before he disappeared.
And I think I'm headed out. So you all listeners, have a great week. I'll see you next week, perhaps. Although next week's going to be quite busy. And all I want to say before I leave is... The bird is the word.
Don't you know about the word?
About the word? What? I don't know. Everybody knows about the bird. I don't know. We're making.
And we just did the ending theme song anyway, so I think we're good.
All
right.
Out.
Out.
In.
Insert.
Up, down. Out. In. Up. Down. Wait.
Up.
Out. In. Down. Up. Down. Wait. No, it's in. Out. Up. Down. Wait. Now I gotta come down. Down. In. Out. Up. Down. In. Out. Up. Conducting very nice. Have a week, people.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Get out of here without cheese! You're a creep! Go away! We're having a good time until you start up, cheapers! Go have some coffee with cream or something! Because I'll tell you something! This is a happy place!